When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
You know what? I'm actually very good.
Oh, God, again?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but I'm good.
Why is that?
I don't know. We got some people. The house might sell.
And,
I know.
Oh,
and as soon as I think about that,
God.
I think, no, I can't let it go. And
the parents' house.
Might sell it.
What happened?
Well, just... Instead of trying to fix it up and everything, we might just go talk to my brother and sister. We had a meeting. We sat down, and we might just let it go. Ooh, look at this man coming up to peek in the window. Isn't that scary? Look at them all peeking in. Hello, how are you? Good to see you. Mm-hmm. Nice to see you. Oh, that scared me. He was coming very quickly, and he just peeked in the window.
He's gone now.
What up with that? Oh, yeah, it's glass. It's a mirror, isn't it? It's kind of semi-mirror.
Plus, it's bulletproof.
Is it?
Oh!
Yep.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Because they're after you, Noose.
No, but that's good to know. I like the double pain. Yeah. Anyway, we might go for it.
Wow, yeah. Noose.
You know.
How do you feel?
A little nervous because that means I got to go somewhere. I got to find somewhere to go.
Okay.
But when the realtor first said, you know, you can sell things as is, and I went, what do you mean as is? You can just sell it as it is. People will buy something as is. And I
really?
And
I wouldn't have thought so.
I was flabbergasted. I thought you had to have it
fixed and perfect.
Fixed and pipes done and this and that. And
I would have thought that.
She goes, no, there's builders that are looking for places that... Because they want to fix it the way they want to do it.
Hmm.
They don't want to have your idea. They don't want your carpet. They want their...
Boy, I've been there. But yeah, go on.
Yeah, so anyway, so as soon as she said that, I went, and she said, and I'm going to tell you right now, because of the interest rates in Canada are very low right now to buy, and because this is the time people want to buy it before September, she goes, I'm going to warn you, it could happen very quickly. And I'm like, what do you mean very quickly? You know me, I like to sit on things for a couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years or so.
Yeah,
my
well, the rest of your life.
Yeah. 10 years. And so I just went, and it just kind of, I don't know, my head kind of opened up. It was like, I don't know. I can't explain
Okay, so it's a possibility.
It's a possibility
you're open to. And how does the thought of it selling make you feel? Do you feel relieved?
There's a sense of relief because I don't have to deal with any of the overwhelming repairs.
Oh, God, you know what I mean? Yes.
Like that kind of went.
Yes.
And then I also went.
Jeez. Yes.
And I went, oh, my God, I can take a step forward because I've been sidestepping for many years now. And it was like, oh, my goodness, what a thought. What a concept.
And we like that, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
And so what does forward look like, do you think?
Oh, dear. Aren't we going to do something? Didn't you have an opener?
I did, but you ruined it. So what does forward look like?
Damn it. Well, it's I don't know if it's got a visual to it, a clear visual, but it's light. If that makes sense.
I feel like you need to have a plan. I feel like it's got to have some sort of a... I do feel like this is something where you need to kind of say, I want to be in a city, or I want to be in this kind of location, or I want to be close to home, or I want to venture out and try something new. I do feel like you need to stop and think about this.
But I don't know what city.
I don't think that matters. I think, but you have to decide whether or not... I think you got to do this. You have to make a decision of whether or not you want to be in a city. And then I think you have to decide what you want out of that city. Kind of like, I was talking to a good friend last night, and so funny. He had broken up with this guy a long time ago, and I remember when he was devastated about it. And all of us were like, oh, God, really? Because we knew the boyfriend, and we were all just like, oh, the boyfriend's a idiot. Anyway, he's now with this new guy. They've been together for a year, and this guy is just a doll. You know, just such a wonderful guy, and they're a great couple, and they're so well matched. Right. And I was like, God, babe, do you remember when, you know, you were going through all this stuff with the breakup, and look at how life has turned out? And he goes, I remember, Jill, I finally sat down and I wrote down everything that I wanted in a boyfriend. And I told the universe, I will not settle. And there's a difference between compromise and settle. You know, it's settling. Is like, well, I wanted to live in a city, but I chose a suburb. No, because of this. But compromise is, okay, you know, I live in a city, but I can't do exercise DVDs in my house because that it bothers the neighbor, so I have to go to the gym. That's compromising in order to not settle. So it's like you have to make some compromises to make those dreams a reality. So anyway, he wrote down all this stuff. And he's like, I want this and I want that and I want this and I want this and I want that and I want this and I will not settle. 5 days later, he met his boyfriend. And I think it's important that before you take action, you really sit down and think about what you want. And it's very much like, I want, either you want to live in a city or you don't, and you establish that, or I want to live in a city that has, you know, outdoor wildlife, you know, is very active city, like Denver is very much like that. And you say all the things you want in a city, almost like all the things that you would want in a partner. And you write down a list of everything you want. And then you start to figure out what is the thing that has those attributes. Where's the city? Is it Denver? Is it, oh no, but I got to be close to home. Okay. Is it Vancouver? Is it, you know, is it Oregon? Is it, but I think once you make a list of all the things that you want to be getting out of your environment and where you live, then it will allow you to narrow it down.
I think you just said something that, when I stopped drinking, drinking, which is a good thing for everyone.
The world is a better place.
But whenever I have to share about that, my list about it is always, part of it was because of the things I didn't want in my life anymore. Mm. You know what I mean? So it was always, I don't want that in my life anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm so used to living that way of what I don't want anymore. I can't picture what I do want, but I know what I don't want.
You got to flip the script here, girl. It's time. You got to start thinking about what it is that you do want.
But what if you're not capable of doing that?
No, we are all capable of doing
that. Do you truly believe that?
Without a doubt. And I think you got to get out of your own way. I think it's tied up with your guilt and, you know, feeling selfish and, you know, it's not how you were raised and all that crap. And I think you need to start doing a lot of the stuff we talked about on the tour, like being extremely present, seeing and acknowledging and appreciating when you're happy, what is making you happy, cultivating that happiness and deciding that, oh, I like to be outdoors. Okay. I need a place that has it outdoors. Oh, I like, you know, I enjoy an artistic community. All right. Where is there like people that are like more theater oriented or spoken word or what's a musical town? Because, you know, these cities gravitate one way or the other. New Orleans is a very musical city. I love jazz. Okay, great. You know, I love to be outdoors. Well, that's Denver. Oh, I want to be in a very diverse city. Well, that's New York. You know what I mean? And it's really just paying attention to yourself, paying attention to you and the things that you like, and then writing down, I like music. I like outdoors. I like, you know, these kinds of people. I like, and really looking at what makes you happy. What's always floated your boat? What you enjoy? Of course we can all do that. It's just a matter of giving ourselves permission to do that.
Well, all right.
To say that you can't just determine what you want is saying that you're fundamentally incapable of being happy. We want what makes us happy. Not just immediate gratification either. So, oh, cake makes me happy. Yeah, well, you know, but heart disease doesn't. So, you know, you got to play it all the way out.
Yeah. Okay.
Stephanie's here. Oh, the director from my show is here. This is great news. Steph, you're right in time. I'm eviscerating Janice right now on the show. Hi, buddy. So Janice and I were talking because Janice is finally going to make some progress in her life. What a shock.
Yeah.
And she's going to maybe move. And we're talking about how I was like, you can't just jump out there with no plan. You got to have some sort of a plan. And I said, I want her to really think about the things that she wants. Make a list of everything she wants and start narrowing it down and looking for the place to live that meets that criteria. Yeah. And she thinks she's not capable of figuring that out. I called BS.
I was telling her that sometimes we base decisions on what we don't want in life, right? On what we don't want,
right.
Not necessarily on what we do want. And she told me I was full of horse pancakes.
No, that's an okay place to start.
It's an okay place to start.
To start. Because then at least you know what you don't want, but...
Yeah, it's an okay place to start. You're absolutely right, Steph. Like, for example, when I... You know, there are certain people in various mm-hmm. aspects of my business that are not good people and that mm-hmm. treat me very poorly. And, you know, I finally got to a place where I was like, you know something? I don't want to be around individuals like this. Mm-hmm. I don't care, you know, this, that, the other. I don't care. I don't want to be treated like this. But I then subsequently said, I want to be in an environment where I'm respected, where my mm-hmm. opinion matters, yes. where there's teamwork, where there's collaboration. And so I do know what I don't want, and I think that's important, and that is exactly what Steph said. It's a great place to start, and it tells you to move. But then the next question is, which direction are you going to move in? And that's where you really got to look at what it is that you want. You're missing mm-hmm. half of the equation. And without it, Janice, you're kind of in trouble.
Oh, don't tell me I'm in trouble. No. I haven't been in trouble since my last tequila escapade. Then I was in trouble. Did you know what happened?
What happened?
Oh, no, I can't.
What happened?
Oh, I had to do community service and stuff.
What did you do?
We digress.
But you've got work to do. I got
Exactly.
You can't move until you sort this out.
Where do you want to move?
I don't know. That's just it.
Doesn't know, Steph.
All right.
At all?
Nope. Good to see you.
You too.
Oh, we could take a little break and then come back. Because I ruined this segment. It was supposed to be an opener.
I did.
No, you didn't know. It was Janice. I had all this great stuff I wanted to talk about. And
then she made the mistake of asking me how I was.
Yeah, I was.
And she actually told me.
What she doesn't understand is she's supposed to be like, I'm fine. That's all she's supposed to. When someone says, how are you? This is your response. I'm fine. All hell could be breaking loose around you.
That's right.
But your answer is, I'm fine. Yeah, but not this one.
No, I
really. It overshared.
Always. All right, we'll be right back.
If you guys haven't already checked out naturebox.com, you have to. It's a subscription-based service that delivers you a box of delicious snacks every month. And these aren't just garbage snacks, they are the real deal. Each snack faces strict quality standards. There's no high fructose corn syrup, no hydrogenated oils, no artificial flavors or colors. smart snacks that are nutritionist approved. And I mean, nothing gets by me. They come to my house every month. They're Jillian approved. They're awesome. Savory, sweet, you can customize your snacks, whatever your dietary needs might be. My personal favorite are the spicy Chinese crackers. You remember those Chinese cracker mixes as a kid that it was like all the yummy, but they were garbage. It was all processed junk and MSG. And these are all clean, all healthy, taste amazing. Or if you want it all, you can get a rotating surprise box each month. Different sizes are available just for you. You can get your family, your coworkers on to better snacking. So if this sounds tasty, you want to feel better, you want to eat better, you want to be healthier, go to naturebox.com/Jillian and you'll get not 10, not 20, but 50% off your first box. That's huge. It's time to get snacks that you can feel good about. That's naturebox.com/Jillian. J-I-L-L-I-A-N. Check them out today. All right, I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I don't know how this is going to play out, but I'm going to just... I've been a little too politically correct lately, and I feel like I just need to speak my truth, because I saw something that really disturbed me.
Okay.
I was watching a show on Showtime, and it's called Years of Living Dangerously. And it's got every Hollywood celebrity in the sun on under the sun on this friggin' show, from, like, Matt Damon to Harrison Ford, and yet no one's talking about it, right? And it's about climate change, and it's depressing as hell. It really is. And I try to stay away from things that are very doomsday unless I can provide hope or solutions. And I don't know a ton about the environment. I know what I know about food and health and how that does tie into the environment. And I try to tell people how they can activate, whether it's, hey, you know, let's ban antibiotics, let's ban pesticides, let's go organic, let's label GMOs. And all these things actually will affect the climate in the long run. But anyway, I watched it. And I watched it because there's a project I'm working on that isn't about climate change, but it's a similar vein of kind of profiling do-gooders in the world. So anyway, climate change, right? And they're showing kind of all these horrible things that are happening around the world and how climate change is causing these massive droughts and it's displacing people. It's causing civil wars in Syria. People are starving. They're losing their jobs. Ranchers in the middle of the country are having to sell 2/3 of their cattle. Meat packing plants are shutting down and thousands of people are out of jobs. And so there's this part where they go to Texas and all of these poor people, and I don't mean poor financially poor, even though they are now financially poor, but poor people are dealing with this massive drought, and they're losing their jobs, all this stuff, right? And so Don Cheadle is actually out there in this particular part of the show, and it's very, like, in this part of the country, it's extremely religious. In particular, it's very evangelical. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to attack any one religion or what have you. But they have been told, oh no, this is God's will. God is in charge of all of this. I'm not going to listen to what some scientist is saying. That's silly. And it says in the Bible, there's going to be a seed to sow always, and God's going to fix it when God is ready. And you've got the scientist out there who's trying to say, hey guys, look, there are four things that cause these climate changes, the sun, and actually when we look at what the sun's doing, the world should be cooler. And she goes through all these kind of factors, and she's like, it's none of these things. If we look at these four factors, the world would be cooling off right now, not heating up. And she sort of goes through all of these things that are contributing to climate change, and it's massive deforestation in third world countries like Indonesia and South America, because they're planting palm trees for palm oil. And so when you slash and burn these forests, not only are those trees not absorbing carbon, but they're releasing massive amounts of carbon. It contributes to 20% of our problem with global warming and just all of this stuff, right? And these people were unable to accept that we as humans have created this. And in doing so, right, I'm watching this woman who's lost her job, and she's like, I pray to God every day, make it better, pray to God every day, make it better, and I just know it's His will. And I'm thinking, what happened? Because believe me, I believe in God. And the interesting thing to me about science is that I feel like science gives me some sort of glimpse into what the hell God is actually thinking or was thinking when he created the world and the universe and all this stuff. And so to me, that's like a path to understanding God's logic. And it's very obvious that we have free will. It was this almost pathological surrender. And I just thought, okay, this is not God now that's fundamentally disabling people. It's religion. It's the organization of religion and keeping people in this place of need so they can be kind of controlled. And I get it that people are going to go, hate my guts when you hear this, but I really think that we need to stop. And so they had this evangelical scientist. She's evangelical. She's also a climate scientist. And she came and she started speaking to people in this town and saying like, hey, this is God's creation, the planet. And God gave us the ability to have free will. And God's creation is speaking to us and telling us it has a fever. And they started to hear her. And my concern is that if we're constantly having this pathological surrender, we're fundamentally incapable of taking responsibility and turning anything around. And because it's like, oh no, God's gonna, and God and this and that. And it's like, what happened to God helps those who help themselves? What happened to taking responsibility and being a good citizen? And I read one saying, if you want to get close to God, care for God's people. I think that was Mother Teresa, actually. And there's got to be a personal accountability in this. And it scares me when people are blindly buying into a religious organization that is telling them, well, you know, so all this stuff's happening and none of it, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. Because then there is nothing that they'll do about it. And we're the ones creating it. And so we're the ones that have to turn it around. And I don't just mean with climate change, though. I mean, this affected their finances. And this woman was like, well, you know, God's going to provide. And I was like, no, you're going to have to move and get another job. And do you remember, have you ever heard this story? This person's drowning, right? There's a huge flood. And, you know, it's like the 40 days, 40 nights, right? There's this huge flood. And he's like, this guy comes along in a rowboat and he's like, get in. And the guy goes, no, God's going to save me. And so he's like, okay. So then another guy comes along and he's like, get in. And he's like, no, I'm good. God's got me covered here. Another person comes along and he's the same thing, right? So he drowns and he goes up to God and he's like, God, why didn't you save me? And God's like, I sent three boats. Hello? And so
it's the best story.
Yeah, you know, and so to me, it's like, hey, you know, the three boats to me represent the ability to make different choices, that the opportunities to turn things around are out there. And I just got so scared because, again, I do believe in God. I am deeply spiritual. But sometimes there are certain aspects of religious institutions that scare me a little bit. And that scared me. Seeing these people unable to comprehend that we've created the problem and then subsequently being unable to comprehend or become empowered to change their own personal circumstance for the better and to contribute to the betterment of the planet based on these teachings was frightening for me. And so I would just simply say, please appreciate, if we were to really look at a loving, kind God that could create this world, there is free will. And I do think that God helps those who help themselves. I think God has created the opportunities for us, but it's our responsibility to act on them and to act on the light side. You know, there's good and evil in the world. Which side of the line are you going to fall on? And I think that's where the choice is and that's where the lessons lie. If we didn't have these lessons, we would never learn and we would never grow. And I remember reading this whole thing about the necessity of evil in the world. And as horrible as it sounded, it brought me peace. And it had to do with how would people learn to be empathetic? How would we learn to be compassionate? Mm-hmm. How would we gain wisdom? How would we gain strength if there wasn't evil? But it is a choice. And the lesson is in the choice. And so I just want to say that you are empowered. We are contributing to the world, whether you like it or not. And the flip side of that is to become a control freak and think that you're omnipotent, that you're God, that you refuse to be helpless. And there is a time for surrender, but it's when you've done all you can do And then you go, okay, I've done all I can do. I've dotted the I's, I've crossed the T's, I've taken responsibility for what I can contribute. And at that point, the surrender comes in not being able to control other people or the world around you, but not in being able to control yourself. Mm-hmm. So I want to be really clear. We don't surrender with regard to our own responsibility. We surrender the ability to control other people in the world around us. Big difference.
Huh? No, it's very, I was just thinking about our, you brought up that joke, which is in a way it's really powerful because our perception of, it's our perception of God's will.
Yeah.
Some people's perception of God's will is, well, I'm just going to hang out. I'm just going to wait. But God's will is through people. I believe God's will is through people. It's like
I
you
believe,
would say,
I agree with you.
Okay, why does my father got Alzheimer's? Well, you know what? What's God's will with that? Well, you know what? There's people learning from him being sick. I'm learning, so, which is exactly what you said. I'm learning empathy. I'm learning patience. My family's learning. My grandchildren are learning how to respect elders. There's medical staff that the web of things that may look like a tragedy.
Well, they are, but they bring meaning to a tragedy.
Right. So it's your perception of God's will. And they're so stuck. You're right. They're stuck in the religion of it.
It was
not
really
the
scary because they were quoting scripture of like, no, you know, God said there'll always be a seed to reap. And I wanted to just be like, guys, hey, you know, evangelical climate scientists came out. They were able to listen to her because they felt she was one of them.
Which is, you know what? Sorry, Steph.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, and she spoke their language.
Their language.
So she was able to relate it in a way that they didn't feel like it was against their views.
It was wild, though, to watch this one woman who Don Cheadle is with, and she's just suffering. She is suffering. She lost her job, all this stuff, and she's like, well, you know, the woman drowning in the water. God's going to help. And I was like, oh, God, lady. You gotta move. You gotta act. You gotta, you know, you've gotta. And it was, I just wanted to cry. I wanted to reach through the screen and shake her and be like, come on now. We can do this. Come on. It was tough to watch. Jeez. Yeah. Oh,
hey, the scriptures were written by people who were, you know, not that I'm going to start being like, I know the Bible, but the scriptures were written by people's interpretation of what happened.
Yeah.
It's their interpretation. So it's all interpretive.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm really sweating now.
You're going to sweat when people hear this and get pissed.
I can't.
I couldn't sit on it. I was like, we got to talk about this. Okay. I couldn't. I just couldn't do it.
Maybe when we come back, I should tell the story about how I emceed at the church, since we're on God.
Oh, dear God. Guys, if you're feeling stuck and unhappy in your job and you want something that you're going to love to do and you'll make great money at, go to myusatrainer.com. Go there before summer ends. You can be a certified personal trainer with the National Academy of Sports Medicine. Certified personal trainers work in health clubs, corporate wellness. They even train college and pro athletes. Plus, NASM guarantees that you will land a job within 60 days of certification or they'll give you your money back. So you've got nothing to lose. Check it out. Go to myusatrainer.com today and get started with your free 14-day sneak peek of their fast and fun online program. That's 14 free days closer to your dream job, making great money at myusatrainer.com. That's myusatrainer.com. Oh, I know our new sponsor. I used this new sponsor to find our nanny. They're the bomb. Okay, moms and dads, I'm talking about care.com. I love it. This is the copy. If you're anything like me, you know how tough it can be to line up the right care for your whole family. Yeah, I get that very much, actually. This is where care.com.
And that's why I'm dropping my voice really low.
That's why, this is where care.com has you covered. These guys help families and caregivers connect in a reliable and easy way. That's care.com, and you can go there to find not just child care. Oh, I didn't even know this, but really any type of care that your family needs. Dog walkers?
Yeah.
Pet sitters?
Yeah.
Housekeepers? Oh, my God. And even help with adult and senior care. With summer coming soon, you can also search for... Oh, my
my gosh! Cams and summer sitters? I gotta call Heidi. These can be stressful tasks. This is so true. And care.com makes the whole process easier. All you have to do is sign up. You can search or browse tons of local caregivers, check out detailed references, work history, background checks, and reviews. So whatever you're looking for, go to care.com/Jillian. And for a limited time, they're giving my listeners 25% off a premium membership. Check it out. And I will say that I hired both my nanny and our babysitter off of care.com.
Wow.
Yeah, they're awesome. Addison and Hallie.
Very cool.
I know.
All right, we're back and all the way from Chicago.
Ooh.
Emily wants to talk to you.
Hello.
Well, hi, Jillian. How are you today?
I'm good, buddy. What's going on?
Well, I contacted you a little bit ago about something I realized is a regular issue in my life, specifically with dating. Where
Oh, it's the doctor.
Oh,
hold on.
Hang on, Emily.
Just a second. Let me. I have to channel.
Just to put on the coat.
No, I have to just channel. I need to get in the. Wait, hold on. I have to get in the zone. Emily, how can I help?
Well, I have a tendency to. Some might say I care too much, but and it results in having a difficult time letting go of situations, even silly little situations. Most recently, it was went on 4 dates with a guy. He left for about a month and came back and didn't contact me.
Okay.
Which is, in the long run, that's not that big of a deal. And I was thinking, let it go. I listen to your show a lot, and you're always telling people to let it go. And one day I was sitting on the train listening to your show, and I thought, but Jillian, how do I let it go?
Okay, so let's be specific here.
Okay.
You're saying there are silly things you can't let go. Dating a guy 4 times and having him disappear, do you think that's silly?
Well, kind of. I mean, I would like to let it go sooner because clearly this
I wouldn't let this go. I would want to know what the pattern is here. I would want to look at this and go, okay, am I attracting unavailable individuals? Or am I engaging in dynamics and my insecurities or chasing people away? Like, I would want to look at and figure out, get to the bottom of it. I don't think this is something you should let go of, actually. Can you give me another example of something you think you need to let go? Is it all romance-based?
No, it can be in general points in my life. I remember the first time I ever heard someone say, I don't care about that, and I just thought, how can you not care about that? And I was a child, so this has been a recurring theme, I guess you could say, where I will obsess over things and try really hard not to think about it by distracting myself. And
these are different, though. Like the situation, if you're having a recurring theme where you're dating people that are just not that into you, that's not something that you should let go. That's something you should examine. If you are at the supermarket, I'll give you an example of something that happened to a friend of mine, and somebody's using a paper bag instead of, you know, one of the politically correct canvas shopping bags, and you're pissed, and you're pissed all day, and you're pissed into next week, that's a conversation of, okay, we're going to have to let this go, and then again, let's look at what it's triggering in you. But I'm not a huge believer of letting things go. I'm a believer of understanding them. I'm a believer of learning from them. I'm a believer of forgiveness. But I don't let things go. It's like, screw it. I don't subscribe to that at all. Now, it shouldn't rule your life. It shouldn't dominate your life. But I would never even let something go. Even if I saw something that I couldn't affect in the moment, I would not let it go. I'd say, well, you know what? I'm going to affect that change in my life. So I don't even know that I believe in the concept of let it go. So again, let's really drill down, since we're going to abandon the idea that you should let anything go. And instead we're going to approach it under the pretense of learning from it and then moving forward with the knowledge that we've taken from it. So let's look at, can you give me themes of things you want to let go?
Oh, my goodness. I always hear people like stumped by your questions, and I didn't think I would be. I guess I would like to let go of the idea that I can control other people, because I know I can't, and I know it's a
fruitless. But this is not effort. This is not something that you can, once again, not something you can let go of. More importantly, you need to look at why you desire to control them. And it's very funny. We just, I don't know if it'll be in this show, actually, but we just did a whole segment on parenting. And I was talking about, you know, how everyone, you know, I'll post a picture of my kids or a tweet that's cute about my kids. And, oh, you're such a good mom. And I just can't even allow people to think that. I can't. And I'm always responding. I'm like, I'm actually not a great mom. You know, I'm learning as I go. And they're like, oh, you're being humble. And it's like, no, I really just don't want you to believe a lie about me. I'm being honest. And I started talking about some of my flaws that I've experienced in my 2 years of parenting. And one of them is how I have been trying to control my daughter in ways that I wasn't even aware of. And this is a problem of mine that I've struggled with my entire life and thought that I had really, really kind of mastered, you know, in my romantic relationships and in my friendships. And it's something that crops up from time to time. It came up with a friend of mine recently who was unable to move through this very destructive pattern. And I was like talking to my shrink about why I found it so frustrating. And again, it's the desire for me to control people is so they don't disappoint me. So I never have to be disappointed. And of course, if somebody disappoints you, then there's a separation. So if my friend isn't progressing the way I need her to progress, then, you know, I'm worried we're not going to, you know, we're going to outgrow each other and we're no longer going to be friends. So that's my investment in controlling her. I don't like to feel helpless. So instead of being able to just sit there and listen to what she's going through, I want to fix it because because helpless for me is a really tough feeling. So I want to control her and fix it and fix her. So it's like, I don't want you, don't make me feel this way. So let's fix you so I don't have to feel this way. So I know why I do these things, and I know their origin in my childhood, where they come from. And in time, in understanding those things and going, okay, let me practice the opposite behavior of what's my go-to. That it's very fascinating, like a great tip for that. Like if I am always going to be, like there was a story that I had told during my live show about how I was the Avenger. And whenever I thought something was unfair, you know, I would leap into the role of the Avenger and start fighting the bad guy, and it would become this historical argument. And when I started to see why I was jumping into this role, how it was playing out for me, and how did I turn it around, I understood it. And then my go-to was, all right, how do I turn the Avenger into the great cooperator and communicator? I went to the opposite behavior. So what you need to really look at is why you feel the need to control people. I guarantee you it's going to come back to a feeling of disappointment and abandonment. I guarantee you. And fear of maybe feeling things that you don't want to feel, helplessness, things of that nature. And then looking at these scenarios and how your need to control is manifesting and reversing the behavior, practicing some superficial behavioral techniques while you're doing the deeper work of working through those abandonment issues. Does this make sense?
Yes, and I also know that like it comes from a lack of self-worth, and that's a really hard thing to bust through.
Explain.
Just this, like, for instance, this guy, he was very well-traveled, and I'm not very well-traveled. And, you know, that's something where it's like, I'm not less than anyone else because I haven't seen the world, and because, you know, everyone has that self concept. And
how is the self worth issue manifesting though in the relationship that's sabotaging you? This is not related to letting it go though, obviously. This is a different issue.
Oh man, then I'd have more issues than I thought.
Well, but letting it go is about control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now your self-worth issue or your lack of confidence and self-esteem is manifesting how?
that's something I'll have to think a little deeper, but it's when, you know, am I trying to act like I'm something that I'm not, and that's off-putting to people when I attract them, or, you know, like, and then it leads to...
So this is a conversation, this conversation is not about letting it go. This is a conversation, this part of our talk is about ways in which you're sabotaging yourself. And so now you're starting to look at, well, hey, is this why this person didn't call me back? Did you engage in a behavior out of insecurity that maybe drove that person away? And I'm not saying that's the answer. I don't know. You haven't told me anything about it. It could be. It might not be. It might be that, you know, you're playing out a pattern where you're attracting emotionally unavailable people. It could also be exactly what you're saying, where your insecurities have come out. And ultimately, the funny thing about those insecurities is that when they, you know, well, if I'm not traveled enough, he's going to leave me. So then, let's say hypothetically, you posture and you behave in a certain way that wasn't authentic and wasn't your true self and came from insecurity. And then that was the thing that caused him to not call back, which always manifests. This is what I mean when I say you always manifest the thing you fear the most when you avoid the issue.
Yes, I've started fearing that I'm going to manifest the things I fear. So
that's how but that's why you have to deal with it head on. That's the only way not to. It's the only way not to. Transparency, authenticity, and the truth. The truth will set you free. So just be you. And that this is one of the ways that we start to make steps forward and getting comfortable with being who we are is by feeling like, oh my God, I'm not well-traveled. And it's like, you know, you might even say, God, you're so well-traveled. It's intimidating. I feel like I don't have anything to contribute to this aspect of our conversation.
Yeah.
You're not saying anything bad about yourself. You're just being honest.
Yeah.
And
I actually think I said that, something along those lines.
Why do you think, tell me how you think that your insecurity chased this person away.
Well, I'm not 100% sure that that's it. It could be just that there wasn't a vibe there that, and he wasn't feeling it as much as I am. I know that that's something that happens sometimes because I've been on the other end of that. But, you know, it's just... After not hearing from him once he got back, thank you, Facebook, because now I know that. Social media, it's great.
Hey.
But it's just more of a... I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
No, sweetheart, you have two... Here, the bottom line, here it is. There's two buckets of work that you need to delve into. One, what is your fear with other individuals being out of your control? And then try to recognize the ways in which you're trying to control them and reverse the behavior. And so listen, be there, be supportive, but don't try to change them.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second part of this is looking at the ways that you may respond when you're feeling insecure. Taking an emotional inventory and going, oof, okay, this makes me feel insecure. How am I reacting? Am I reacting in my truth, or am I reacting, you know, in a way that's defensive? Am I posturing and so on? And really examining your behavior in the events where things have been sabotaged or come to an end. And if you can't pinpoint it to a certain behavior, then it's quite possibly the fact that you are attracting people that are unavailable. And then you've got to look at where else in your life you've experienced feeling like you weren't able to please somebody, a loved one, a parent that was you weren't quite perfect enough for, because that's generally where that kind of pattern dials back to. But you gotta look in these two key areas, that's where you're gonna uncover a lot of information about what's really going on.
Okay. Thank you.
And I expect a report back email, just to be clear.
Oh, okay. So like a 3 to 6 month kind of thing, because that's a lot of work.
Well, when you start to have some realizations, put them on paper and send them our way.
Okay. I'll look for it, Emily.
Yeah, this way. Okay. I think it's good to write these things down, and so I'm going to hold you accountable to that.
Well, I am a writer, so be prepared for something rather verbose.
I'm ready, willing.
Ooh, verbose. See, verbose. You can tell. Oh, look at her. She's a smart feller.
Yeah.
Like a fart smeller.
Did that go right over your head there, Dennis?
It did. Verbose. I just got excited.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Emily. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you for calling. Have a great day, ladies.
You too, sweetie. Oh, all right, Janice, tell your story.
It's not that it's really... We were just talking about religion and God, and I had the most interesting gig. I guess I can't really call it a gig. The church, my mom went to church all. My mom was a Presbyterian. She's a good Scottish Presbyterian. Went to church all the time.
Whoa.
And so in my last year with her, I would take her to church. And so I got to know the church folk because I take her to church every Sunday. And then after my mom died, I kept on going because I missed her so much. Again, it gave me a connection with my mom. I'd sit in the same spot that she sat in.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And I get it. Totally.
I had this connection. And then as time went on, I kind of wasn't going as much. But they called me every once in a while to come and MC an event at the church, like the bazaar. Like, oh, it's the bazaar. And I would go out with the microphone. And recently, they had me MC. They said, oh, Janice, would you help us out? We're doing a fundraiser for the church camp, you know, the summer camp. And they had like a jazz band, and I was to come in the middle and do MC. And I was petrified because... You know, we have that internal edit button. Like, you know, like when I was with my parents, I could turn off my swear button because I have a potty mouth. But when I was with them...
The only place I'm able to do that is actually this podcast. Everywhere else, I swear like a sailor.
Yeah, like you're pretty...
A sailor.
No, we've had to put ducks. We've had to put
a few, but it's way better than the way I normally am. And I do it because I just think maybe there's a kid in the car, or like I do it with my DVDs too. I started saying bummy instead of the A word and all that because moms have their 3-year-olds in the room.
Anyway, go on. So I was petrified because it was more of a social thing and people were at tables, you know, but they're the church people. Mm. And I had to go out and kind of do jokes like,
oh, can you have one you could share?
Oh, it's hard to find church jokes.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Jesus.
Jesus who?
I don't have an answer. I just thought. Okay, here's go one something of the like that.
Okay, no, here's one of the jokes. See, I said, a man and his wife, wife and his mother-in-law go to the Holy Land for a trip.
Man and his wife.
A man, his wife, and his mother-in-law, her mother. They go to the Holy Land for a thing. And the mother-in-law, unfortunately, died. And
that's not funny.
And the whole, hang on. So they went, so the funeral person said, oh, you know what, we can give your mother-in-law a lovely burial in the Holy Land for $150.
Okay.
Or we can ship her body back to the United States for $5,000.
Oh.
And the man, he went, you know, he's hummed and hawed, and he went, you know what, I think we'll choose to ship her back to the States.
For about, $5,000?
Right. And the funeral director said, my God, $5,000, why wouldn't you, for $150, we can give her a beautiful burial. And the man said, well, you know, I thought about it. He said, but 2,000 years ago, a man died here. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And he goes, I just can't take that chance. And I'll tell you, the pastor was slapping his leg. Like, I was so...
You didn't really say that.
I did. They laughed.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I was back doing stand-up. I was just like, hey, what about this one? And I had a few jokes. You want to hear another one?
Sure.
Okay. The nun, Sister Stephanie... Sister Stephanie was doing her rounds for the health care. She goes around health care. You know, she goes around to people's houses and makes sure they're okay.
Oh.
And Sister Stephanie ran out of gas.
Okay.
So she stopped the car and she went to walked to the gas station. That's good. And the gas station guy says, I'm out of cans. I don't have any cans to give you,
okay.
Sister Stephanie. I don't know what I can give. So she walked back to her car and she found a bedpan. In the trunk.
Uh-huh.
You know what a bedpan is?
Yeah, you pee in it.
Yeah. So she went back to the gas station with the bedpan, and he put a couple bucks worth of gas in.
Okay.
And then she walked back to the car with the bedpan, and she was filling up the car with the
pan.
The gas in the bedpan. And these two
fellas... That wouldn't work, by the way, just to be clear.
Yeah,
but okay.
These two guys were watching.
Ergonomically impossible, but that's fine.
These two guys were watching, and the one guy turned to the other guy, and he says, you know what, if that thing starts, I'm turning Catholic. I'm here all week. Don't eat the meal. Isn't that funny? Anyway, so I had them laughing at the church.
Uh-huh.
I have no moral to this story. I'm just saying that it was supposed to be about the edit button. Actually, I wasn't even going to tell you about this at all, but you were talking about God's will, and I thought, I just emceed at the church for the Sunday school.
Oh. Wow. You know, if we didn't lose listeners when I
talked about God's will.
Yeah, I think for sure you cemented that with this. Ooh, maybe we should just call this one a day.
Really?
I don't know how much more damage we're going to be able to do in the next...
We could call it a day.
I mean,
you want to call it a day?
Oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just terrible.
All right, see you next week.
Can you come up with an answer to my Jesus joke, though? I think that'd be funny.
Not who's their Jesus. I'll figure that out. Next week, I'll have an answer for you. No, I probably won't. I'll email you.
All right. Yeah. No. Don't make it offensive, though.
No,
we got
can't.
Enough problems.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.